time to visit a very special Benedictine, currently based at St. Anselmo here in Rome, as Secretary General to the head of the Benedictine Confederation. He's Dom Henry O'Shea, who was kind enough to share with me some thoughts about the saint, who is and has been of great inspiration to him, and not just to him.
I think the legacy is one which is, first of all, profoundly spiritual, but it's a spirituality that tempers a certain kind of humanity. We speak about Benedictine humanism. I think that's one of the things we need today. First of all, the present Holy Father speaks a lot about faith and reason. I think Saint Benedict manages in his rule to combine both admirably. But I think what is most needed today for most people, a reason for living. And Saint Benedict provides this in his perspective of the constant presence of God, the importance of prayer, the importance of the scriptures, the importance of community, but within that, the huge importance of the individual, of individual responsibility. I think all of these things are extremely relevant today.
Benedict was also proclaimed patron saint of Europe by another pope, Paul VI, in 1964. Do you think this title is still fitting today?
I think very much so. Obviously, Paul VI, who was a great fan of St. Benedict and the Benedictine, had very much in mind the cultural impact of St. Benedict and the Benedictines, and for that reason he chose St. Benedict as the patron, because much of what we regard as European civilization stems from the Benedictine approach. This is shared, of course, by the present Holy Father. I suppose as a Benedictine I have to agree with him on that. But I think that the basic insights of Paul VI are still very, very valid. And for that reason, this choice of patron, I think, should remain. John Paul II, of course, supplemented that. He always spoke about the two lungs of the East and West. And he added Saint Cyril and Methodius to a list of patrons. Of course, it's so happy, I suppose we could put it that way, that Saint Cyril is supposed to be buried in San Clemente. So we have this wonderful presence here in Rome of both, or in Italy at least, of both lungs.
Monks were the medieval missionaries travelling right across the world, in the sense that they did active work in the world rather than retreat from the world. Is that so still today? Do you think the monk's role, the Benedictine monk's role, has changed over the centuries?
Over the centuries, undoubtedly. I think we tend today to have what is really a rather lately developed perspective of the monk as primarily a contemplative shut-in. That has never really been the case, except for certain reform movements such as the Carthusians, etc. But generally speaking, certainly in the early centuries, monks have always lived in and been part of their society. And of course, as you rightly said, in certain parts of Europe, the monks were actually the missionaries. We think of St. Boniface, for example, in Germany. We've got to be very careful, of course, not to claim that every single monk before the 16th century was a Benedictine, because the concept of a Benedictine order is relatively modern. This does not mean, of course, that there weren't thousands and thousands of monks who followed the rule of St. Benedict. So we've got to be very careful in all our historical judgments that we don't look at things through what is essentially a modern prism. And I think many of the activities that Benedictines were involved in these early centuries, can mutatis mutandis still be very valid today? For example, missionary work, what does that consist today? We talk about, for example, in modern Europe, we talk about a re-evangelization. I think monks have a huge role to play in that by providing in their monasteries centres of, for want of a better word, spirituality, but far more than that, centres of prayer, of thought, of encounter with many of the difficulties faced by our contemporary society. We tried very much in my own monastery, for example, in Ireland, to do that, particularly given the specific difficulties that we're suffering. We're encountering in Ireland at the moment.
Your abbey is Glenstall Abbey in Ireland, is that right?
Ireland, yes, it's the only abbey for men. Benedictine Abbey for men in the Republic of Ireland. There's also a smaller house in the north of Ireland of Olivetan Benedictines. But they too are very much engaged in what's most important in the north of Ireland, the work of reconciliation. But we in the south, in the Republic, we try in our monastery to provide a forum, as we did since the 1960s, for ecumenical meeting and encounter, which is very important then as it is now. But increasingly, the mission in modern Ireland is one of renewal of the church, of renewing the relevance of the church to most Irish people by the examination, for example, of the various problems that these people have, intellectual, spiritual, moral, and of course also economic.
You describe the Benedictines as being inserted, in a sense, in modern society, yet the rule of St. Benedict is drawn up in 527. So you still follow this rule, do you?
Basically, yes. The age of a particular text does not necessarily mean that it automatically falls into desuetude. Think, for example, of the scriptures, or think of some literary texts which are still valid thousands of years after they were written. The rule, I think, is, you could say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And the rule has survived all these centuries because, basically, it works. Clearly, there are aspects of the rule which are crazy today. They talk about physical punishment for those who are disobedient, for example. They talk about things like sleeping in your habit and making sure to remove your knife before you do so. Clearly, those are historically conditioned aspects. But there are eternal elements in the rule which I think are still extremely valid.
Would you say that the rule of St. Benedict teaches something that is very balanced? On the one hand, there's the spiritual aspect, on the other, the going out in the world aspect.
It is a bit of a cliché, nonetheless true for that, the great balance of the rule. And that explains, of course, why of the many monastic rules that were around at the time, it eventually became successful. There are other historical reasons for that too.
Offshoots of the Benedictines?
No. There were, at the time of the what became the rule of Benedict, there were many other rules, for example, St. Canabalas of Ireland, etc. But these rules were in some cases regarded as too crazy or too difficult or too abstruse. The balance of the Benedictine rule was certainly one of the factors that determined its success. I'm not terribly happy with this idea of staying in the monastery and going out into the world. I'm not so sure that those are the alternatives that are present in the rule. Certainly it's true that in the rule, St. Benedict envisages the monk staying for most of his time in the monastery. Though he does make provision for monks to travel, etc., etc. No, I think the more important thing is that the monks are this presence in society. People can come to the monastery and experience what it means to live this balance, this Christian balance of prayer, spirituality, work, and also this valuing of the individual, which I think is very important.
What kind of questions do people who come here seeking spiritual help ask you?
Those vary a lot. Some people come here with very specific requests. For example, teach me to pray. Some people come to talk about personal difficulties. Some cases they want definite spiritual advice. Some cases it's quite clear that they're basically in need of and are seeking what we now regard as professional help. But for the most part, people who come, particularly those who eventually decide to become oblates of a monastery, that is, lay associates, they want to find some way of structuring what is usually already a Christian life. But they want to find something that will give them a balance, something that will give sense to their working, in inverted commas, in the world, something that will help them in their family lives, in their professional lives, in their spiritual lives. And they find that the structure that the monastic life offers is both firm enough and at the same time flexible enough to give them that particular structure.
And warm thanks there to Dom Henry O'Shea, currently based at Sant'Anselmo here in Rome as Secretary General to the head of the Benedictine Confederation, Abbot Notker Wolf.